If you would like to share what the Lord has placed on my heart today, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading from Psalms chapter 37. And I'm just going to read a few verses. And if you are, we're doing things just a little bit different this morning. If you're a little curious why the lights haven't come up, just hang tight. I've asked those that operate those for us to just work something a little bit different this morning. But I want to read from Psalms chapter 37, beginning with verse number 1. When you've got that, say amen. Scripture says, fret not thyself. Don't worry yourself. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they will wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Wow. That is a pretty powerful verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I would like for you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord for his help in ministering the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the opportunity that you have given to us to come to the house of the Lord and to worship your name in spirit and in truth. And Father, to receive of your word, we are thankful this morning, Lord, for your presence that we feel. And we come now to the reading of the word of God and the ministry of the word of God. And Father, I ask for your divine ability this morning. I pray, Father God, that you will inspire my thoughts and that you will put your word in my mouth and your word in my heart and help me to impart what you have laid upon my spirit for this service this morning. I would ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would be saying to us. Give me this morning, Lord, liberty and unction to function, I pray, to be an effective minister of the Word of God. Let your name be glorified and your people be edified. And for all of these things, I will be eternally grateful and I will be eternally thankful. And we ask them in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement with that prayer said amen. So this morning, I have kept the lights down, and I'm actually going to ask, Brooke is there. I'm going to ask Brooke in just a moment if she will dim the lights that are on. And I want to share with you a short video clip. The clip that you are about to see is from the movie that is entitled, What About Bob? The movie is a comedy, and it stars Bill Murray, and I believe it's Richard Dreyfuss, and the whole plot of the little movie is that Bill Murray is a psychiatric patient, and Richard Dreyfuss, Leo, the character that he plays, is the doctor, and the doctor goes on vacation, and Bob follows. And the doctor is really not all that pleased about the fact that, you know, Bob has followed along on the family vacation. But, you know, at the risk of being rude, they invite him for dinner. And this is part of the dinner scene from the movie called What About Bob? Would you hit those lights and hit that?
Oh. Mm. Faye, this is so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Mm-hmm. Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
Okay, brace yourself, if you will, bring up the lights. So later today, if someone asks you, what did your pastor at Elevation Worship Center preach on this morning, you can tell them, what about Bob? But I actually want to title my message this morning, Duty or Delight? Duty or Delight? And what I want you to notice about the scene from the little video clip is absolutely obvious. Bob left no uncertainty about how he was enjoying the meal. Can you say amen? He left no uncertainty about his attitude toward the meal, and he gives us a little bit of insight of what our text is talking about. Our text says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. I think we can all agree that Bob was totally delighted in supper. He pursued the potatoes with a passion and made his own personal connection with that ear of corn. Can you say amen? It was borderline embarrassing. He was enraptured. He was enthused. And he was obvious, and it was obvious to everyone that he was enjoying the chicken and all of the trimmings. And he was in no way afraid to express his appreciation for what he was receiving. He was so caught up in enjoying the food that little else mattered to him. And it was in every sense to him, in every sense of the word, his meal was a complete delight. His whole dining experience was over the top. Our verse this morning, our text, tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord. And I have a question for you this morning. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? Are you enjoying yourself in the Lord? And are you enjoying all that He has to offer? Are you enjoying God, if you will, and all of the trimmings? Are you taking delight in your relationship with Abba Father? Are you experiencing what Jesus promised in John 10 and 10? He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are you enjoying an abundant, over-the-top kind of life with Him? Are you delighting in the Lord, or are you just dutifully trying to serve God? Duty or delight? What do you mean, Pastor Gary? What I'm asking this morning is, are you serving God out of a duty or out of delight? Are you serving the Lord out of a sense of duty, or are you serving God out of a sense of delight? And you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor, it is our duty to serve the Lord. And you are right. The Apostle Paul said that it is our reasonable service to serve the Lord. But I also want you to understand this morning that we can either serve God from a point of duty or serve God from a point of absolute delight in Him. Are we serving the Lord out of obligation, or are we serving Him with absolute enchantment? How many of you remember when you first gave your heart to Christ? And the joy that was in your spirit and the new life that he gave you and the power of his Holy Spirit that you felt. And you were just overjoyed with the presence of the Lord. Well, guess what? That wasn't supposed to wear off. Are you taking delight in the things that God takes delight in? Are you delighted with the things that he speaks to you and the fellowship that you have with him? Because I believe this morning that God desires for all of us to live in a place where our heart takes such delight in him that we serve our God with gladness. I believe that God desires for us to live in a place that we are so delighted in him that we serve him with joy and with excitement, and that we relish our relationship that we have with him. How many of you know this morning that God is not interested in just our lip service? He is not interested in our lip service, but he desires for us to serve him from a whole heart. Out of a whole heart. Let me give you some scripture this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Fear the Lord and serve him in truth with a whole heart." If you're going to do it, don't do it halfway. If you're going to do it, don't do it out of duty. If you're going to do it out of delight. If you're going to do it all the way. Go all out. Amen. Richard Dreyfuss, you know, the Dr. Leo, he was a sourpuss. I've met Christians that are just like that. Somebody gets excited about the Lord, and somebody gets excited about their relationship with the Lord, and they just look at them kind of sideways. Hello? That didn't stop Bob. Can you say amen? Well, this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind." Don't leave anything out. If you're going to do it all the way. Serve the Lord with gladness. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 8, the psalmist said these words, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." How many of you ever got a hold of or got a bite of something that was just to your mouth? I'm telling you, that's the way Jesus is to our life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and he adds no sorrow to serving him. Amen. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 9 says, "Oh, reverence the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that reverence him." Verse 10 says, "The young lions do lack and they suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13, the word of God says that God speaks through the prophet, and he says, "In the day that you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found of you." The takeaway from all of those verses is that God desires for us to serve him with a whole heart this morning. Amen. A heart that is absolutely overwhelmingly enchanted with him. When David, the writer of this psalm, writes this psalm, he is now an aged man. He has lived a long life. And David, the words of this psalm, he writes, he's lived as an earthly king and his natural flesh has been satisfied. But he also tells us in these verses that he learned a few things along the way. He said, I have learned that when I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desire of my heart. And that That is a powerful statement this morning. When the Holy Spirit began to lay these words upon my heart this past week, and I began to study and I began to look through the Word, I found some incredible comfort and some incredible encouragement that if I delight myself in the Lord, He'll give me the desires of my heart. But I also found some soul-searching questions. I found encouragement. I found, amen, incredible comfort. But I also found myself asking a few questions. And I feel this morning that the Holy Spirit would have me to ask you the same questions. Amen. He comes to us and says to us, are you serving me out of duty or out of delight? There are two components to the verse that I would like to look closely at this morning. Number one, the first part of that verse. The first component is the verse that he says, of course, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Understand, first of all, this morning that that verse is not telling us that we are to try and cause God to delight in us. That's not the meaning of the text. Understand that the verse is not telling us that we are to try to cause God to delight in us, but rather we are to make God our delight. I have been in some circles, and I have heard this verse taught in the sense that if we will just do right and if we will just become a delight to God, then He will give us the desires of our heart. Please understand this morning that that is a misguided interpreting of the word. That's not what the word is teaching us. If we're not careful, we will buy into the lie of the enemy that if we can just be good enough and if we can just measure up, then God will give us the desire of our heart. If we can just somehow reach God's expectations of us, then He will love us and He will be delighted in us. That's not what it's saying. If we're not careful, we'll have the mentality that if I can just dot all of the I's and cross all of the T's, and if I can just somehow measure up, amen, to what God expects, then God will give me the desire of my heart. That's not what it's teaching. That's not what it's teaching us. If we allow that to happen in our life and we accept that interpreting of the text, then becoming a delight, or God becoming a delight, or us becoming delighted in God, amen, our experience with God will become performance driven. If we interpret that scripture that we are trying to get God to delight in us, then our relationship with Him will become performance driven. If I can just do this, then He will do that. I promise you this morning, that is not the interpreting of the scripture. In fact, I promise you that sooner or later, if you live by performance mentality, that you are going to disappoint yourself somewhere along the way, because none of us can line up and perform like we ought to. Can you say amen? Amen. I promise you that sooner than later, we are going to become disappointed in our ability to perform, and we will wind up becoming discouraged and wind up giving up. Let me just share with you a good piece of news this morning. God already loves us. He already loves us. We don't have to perform to get Him to love us. Good news, our relationship with God does not have to be performance-based. Good news, if we have made Christ the Lord of our life, then He is already delighted in us. He's already delighted in us. The true meaning of the text is not that we are trying to cause God to be delighted in us, but the true meaning of the text is God is desiring for us to be delighted in Him. He wants us to know that He is our everything. He already loves us. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8 that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Jeremiah 31 and 3, God said, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Beloved, God already loves us. If we have received Christ, he is already delighted in us. We are not trying to live so that we can get God to delight in us. We need to make God our delight. Amen. Allow me to ask you a question this morning. Have we learned to do that? Have we learned to delight in the Lord? Have we learned how to delight in the Lord? Or is our experience with God more from a sense or a form of duty? Our relationship with our Heavenly Father, is it a delight or is it a duty? The reason that the answer to that question is so critical that I discovered years ago that delight is a far better motivator than duty is. Hello? I discovered years ago that when I delight in something, you know, you don't have to talk me into tending to it. Hello? Let me give you a couple of examples. If you have someone that delights in going fishing, you don't have to twist their arm to get them to take a fishing trip. All you got to do is bring up fishing, and their delight will motivate them to go fishing. Find somebody that delights in going hunting, and you won't have to pump them up, amen, or twist their arm to get them to go hunting. They are Johnny on the spot. You talk about hunting, and they are ready to go. Lock and load, baby. Hello? Well, let me just tell you something. If you find somebody that's delighted in the Lord, you won't have to pump them up, amen, to go to the house of God. They will be like the psalmist who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. If you are serving God out of duty, let me just tell you, there's a better way. Get delighted in the Lord, and your delight in God will motivate you to do things that you never thought possible. I don't even know how many years ago it's been, but I was 20 and she was 19. And I first laid eyes on my wife and I went, hey. I got to know who that is. That smile and them brown eyes just captivated my heart. I'm telling you right now. And I fell in love with her, and it has been my delight to live with her and dwell with her and love her and honor her. It has been, it's not a sense of duty, it's a delight. Amen. I have found a long time ago that when I delight in something, it just comes easy to me. It just comes natural for me. In high school, I was never all that great in math. I never cared for it. When they started mixing letters and numbers, I checked out. I'm like, you all are nuts. Thank you very much. And my grades look like I check out. You know, I got, you know, D's and C's. But when it came to U.S. history, oh, I was interested in that stuff. And I got straight A's, man. Why? Because I delighted in it. I was involved in it. It touched me. It ministered to me. It was important to me. It was interesting to me. And you didn't have to pump me up to go to world or U.S. history class. You didn't have to pump me up to go study history. I was there. I was Johnny on the spot. I love reading about it. I was delighted in it. Well, that's what I'm saying this morning. Get delighted in the Lord. And when you become delighted in God and you become delighted in your relationship with God, like Bob at the dinner table. This is so good. My God, is this hand shook corn? Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. I fell in love with Jesus and somewhere along the way, he changed my life and he changed my heart. And I can say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he satisfies my mouth with good things, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet on a rock and gave me his salvation and wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life, and he put my feet on a pathway to heaven. And brother, I this morning have something to shout about. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't serve him out of duty. Serve him out of delight. Don't serve him because, amen, you want to stay out of hell, although that's a good reason. Amen. Don't serve him out of duty, but serve him because he is the delight of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. You find somebody that's delighted in the Lord, and they're going to be like Bob. Oh, this is so good. And then you got the other folks sitting around the table that go, you have lost your mind, buddy. No, you just don't know how good it is. You don't know how hungry I was. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is that when you take delight in something, amen, you can easily find your motivation. Amen. Motivated to serve God from a heart of delight. Duty and delight are two different things. Duty is responsibility. Duty is Monday morning when you got to get up at 5:30 and go to work. Hello? That's duty. I get up in the mornings on Monday and go, Monday. Pull your boots on, boy. It's time to go. Hello? That's duty. That's responsibility. But as Sunday morning come, I roll out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to study my notes. Hey, man, I just can't wait till the time comes that I get to stand here in the morning service and deliver what God has put on my heart. That's delight. Why? Because I delight in serving the Lord. I delight in doing what he's called me to do. I delight. It is my passion. It is my love. Hey, man, I delight in doing what God has laid on my heart to do. Amen. Serve him out of delight. How can we increase our delight? Let me give you three ways. Take delight, number one. Increase your delight in the Lord by taking, number one, by being delighted in his will. By taking delight in his will. The first way that we can increase our delight in the Lord is to follow the example of the Lord Jesus and learn to delight in God's will. Delight in God's will. Listen to what the scripture says about the coming of Christ before he was ever manifest in the flesh. This is what Psalms 40:8 said. I delight to do thy will, O God. So I want you to understand that prophecy is given before Christ is ever born. And the prophecy said when the Son comes, he will delight to do the will of the Father. He will delight to do the will of the Father. Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat, my delight is to do the will of him that sent me. Do you remember when Jesus was there at the well and he's talking to the woman and the disciples had gone into the city to get some food and they come back and they try to get Jesus to eat and he says, not now, I have meat to eat that you don't even know about. And so, and they looked at each other and said, did somebody give him food? And Jesus was telling them, no, my delight, my food, my sustenance, what keeps me ticking is doing the will of my God, doing the will of my Father. John chapter 9, verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7, the Bible said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written, I am come to do thy will, O God. Amen. What I'm saying this morning and the point that I want to make is that Jesus took delight in doing the will of the Father. And by taking delight in the Father's will, Jesus found his delight and he fulfilled his purpose by doing the will of God. And I just challenge you this morning. Amen. Search and find the will of God for your life and get in your groove. And when you get in your groove and you start doing the will of God in your life, it'll change the way you live and it'll change your relationship with him. It'll change from a sense of duty to a sense of delight. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord and get lost in his perfect will for your life. Number two, how can we increase our delight in the word, or our delight in the Lord? Number two, we need to take delight in the word of God. Take delight in the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23, the Bible says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not thy mother's law. Bind them continually upon thy heart and bind them about thy neck. What are they talking about? They're talking about God's word. Bind the word of God to your neck. Bind the word of God to your heart. And it goes on to say, and when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. What? The word of God. It'll go with you, and it'll lead you, and it'll keep you, and it'll talk with you. And then he says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Amen. And reproofs of instruction are the way to life. He's talking about the necessity and the need for the word of God. Amen. Psalms 119 verse 103. The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, they are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15 and 16, Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Job, the Bible said in Job 23 and 12, Job said, neither have I gone back on the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You want to get delighted in the Lord? Get in the word and let the word get in you, and it'll transform you to the place where you become delighted in serving the Lord. Number three, delight in his presence. Delight in his will, delight in his word, delight in his presence. Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now listen, scripture didn't say in his presence is joy. No, it says in his presence is fullness of joy. You want to just lose your mind with happiness? You want to just lose your mind with joy? Get in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. And there is nothing like getting in the presence of the Lord that will cause you to delight in him. Amen. Shut off the TV. Set the social media aside. Take a little time to be in the presence of the Lord. And when you get in the presence of the Lord, you will come away transformed by the power of His Spirit. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is peace. In His presence is strength and courage and wisdom and rest. And when we take time to delight ourselves in the presence of the Lord, we will come away recharged by the power of God. Amen. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. They'll run and not be weary. How many would we like to just take off running and not get weary? Amen. Let me just tell you, you get in the presence of God and brother, He'll strengthen you. He'll uphold you and He'll help you with the right hand of His power. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in His will. Delight yourself in His word and delight yourself in His presence and take delight in Him. And then comes the promise. And He will give you the desire of your heart. Man, I have had some desires in my heart. How about you? Well, let's look at that second component this morning. He shall give you the desire of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give me the desire of my heart. Does that mean if I go to church and I make the Lord the delight of my life, He will give me a new truck? If I go to church and I delight in the Lord and I make Him the light of my life and the delight of my heart, I will get that new ATV.
Where's
that verse at? Well, let me just share with you, that's not what it's saying. So that verse ain't in there. But sometimes we want to make it seem that that's what it's saying. Sometimes we want desires in our life. And we think that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us those things that we have been desiring. And then when He doesn't give us those things, we're disappointed. Hello? Well, let me just share with you this morning. It doesn't mean you'll get that new truck. It doesn't mean you're going to get that new ATV. No, the idea behind the promise is this. This verse and other verses like it are telling us that if we truly delight in the Lord, in eternal things, and in the eternal things of God, then our desires are going to parallel with His desires. And when our desires parallel with His desires, we will never be disappointed. You hear what I'm saying? It's not about our desires. It's about becoming so enthralled with the Lord and so enraptured with Him and so in love with Him that we begin to think like He does and our desires turn into His desires. And when our desires line up with His desires, He will give us the desire of our heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. We have a tendency to seek things instead of seeking God. Hello? Far too often we are seeking after things or seeking after what God can do for us instead of seeking God Himself. I have often said, stop seeking the hand of God and start seeking the face of God. What do you mean by that, Pastor Gary? I'm saying stop seeking for things that God can do for you and just start seeking Him. And when you seek God and you make Him your delight, everything else will just line up. You won't have to go looking for a blessing. A blessing will find you. Hello? You won't have to talk God into giving you something. You just go about your business loving the Lord, and God will just send the blessings of the Lord upon your life. Too far, too often, we are infatuated and delighted with wealth and status and material possessions and temporary things, and we don't realize that we need to find our delight in God. And when you find your delight in the Lord, you will find that your desires begin to change and you are taking on His desires. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." It all boils down to this truth, that when we live to please ourselves, listen, when we live to please ourselves, we will always wind up frustrated, disappointed, and unfulfilled. Even if we succeed, often it is just an empty victory. Because our wants, our desires, our aspirations are just too often for temporal things. And really, we need to see things in the light of eternity. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to read the New King James Version. He said, "But whosoever gets lost in doing the will of the Father will discover abundant life." Whoever gets lost in doing the will of the Father will discover abundant life. Whoever seeks to please God will ultimately find themselves pleased. I like that. Hello? The person who delights himself in the Lord will live a full life. Because it's not about us. It's about Him and about His work and His will. Let me just share with you. I'm going to try and wrap it up here pretty quick. Let me just share with you that Psalms chapter 37 makes it very clear that for those who will delight in the Lord, they have a very blessed future. Look with me at Psalms chapter 37, if you still have your Bible open. I'm just going to briefly go right down through the chapter real quick with two different thoughts. There is in this psalm a significant contrast between what happens to the people of God and what happens to the ungodly. Look at verse number 1. He says, and I don't know what translation you're reading, but the translation that I have says, tells us not to fret or be envious of those who do wrong. Don't be envious and don't fret about those that are doing wrong and they appear to be prospering. How many of you have ever looked at your neighbor and they live an ungodly lifestyle and yet they just appear like everything is great? Well, the psalmist is saying, don't fret about that. Don't be envious of that. Don't let that worry you none. They may seem to prosper for a time, and they may be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, and they may be seeming like they are getting away with murder, but Bible tells us here in Psalms chapter 37 that there is coming a day that they will regret the way that they have lived. Look at verse number 1. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Verse 10. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Verse 12, verse 17, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord will laugh at the wicked, for He knows the day, their day is coming. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy and to slay the ways of the upright. But their sword will pierce their own heart. Amen. And their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord will uphold the righteous. Now look at some of the promises in chapter 37 that He gives to the righteous. Verse 3 and 4, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Verse 18 and 19, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord and their inheritance will be forever. It's not just about this temporal life, but our inheritance is going to remain forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will have plenty. Verse 23 and verse 24, if the Lord delights in a man's ways, his steps shall be firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord will uphold him with his right hand. I don't know about you, but it just makes me look at the chapter and go, which team do I want to be on? Hello? Easy call. I want to be on Team Righteous. Can you say amen? I want the promises that belong to the godly. See, understand that Psalms chapter 37 was written so that it could help to keep us have a proper perspective upon life. Sometimes when we see the wicked and we look at their lives and they appear to be having an easier time than we are, amen, and we are tempted to say that it is vain to serve the Lord. But when we look at the big picture and we see it all in the light of eternity, amen, we are reminded of just how good God is toward us. And when we look at it in the light of eternity, we immediately understand that the temporary challenges of today are nothing compared to the glory that we will inherit when we step on the other side. You hear what I'm saying this morning? The truth of the matter is that God can satisfy. The truth of the matter is that God can safely satisfy the desires of the ones who are truly trusting and delighting in him, because those desires will be according to his will. The key to enjoying life this morning is not found in getting God to give us what we want. I want that to sink in to your spirit. The key to delighting in life is not getting God to give us what we want, but the key is found in delighting ourselves in God and learning to want what God is longing to give us. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't serve the Lord out of duty, but serve him out of gladness. Don't serve the Lord out of some sense of duty, but allow your delight in him to motivate you to love, to motivate you to serve, to motivate you to live your life that's pleasing to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with a delighted heart. Let's be like Bob. Let's be like Bob. Lord, you are so good to me. Lord, you have blessed my life with your tender kindnesses and your loving mercy. Oh, you have graced me when I deserved justice. You gave me mercy. You have shown your long suffering and your gentleness to me. You've satisfied my life and my mouth with good things, things that I don't even deserve. Things that I don't even deserve. Lord, you've just overwhelmingly touched my life. I don't care if I make a fool of myself sitting at the dinner table, just going, that is so good. Lord, you are so good. I will serve you out of a delighted heart. I owe you my duty. You are my responsibility, but I will serve you out of a delighted heart. I will serve you because I am overjoyed in your presence. I will serve you because your word fills my life with abundance. I will serve you because your will is my desire. I will serve you not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of delight. Bow your heads all over the building, please. How about you? How about you? When the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this past week and he began to lay this word upon my heart, I took encouragement that I'm not trying to get God to delight in me. I could never perform well enough to cause him to delight in me. But thank God that's not what it's saying. It says that he wants me to make him my delight. I was encouraged when I said, Lord, I don't want to serve you out of duty, but I want to serve you out of a delight. I want to serve you out of a joy. I was encouraged when I felt the Spirit of the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, you know, if you will make my will and my word and my presence your delight, your soul will overflow. But when the Holy Spirit began to speak about my heart, about serving about duty and serving out of delight, I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me to ask you this morning, which perspective are you serving the Lord from? Are you serving him out of responsibility, out of a sense of duty? Or are you just overwhelmingly moved and the natural reaction of your heart comes through your mouth? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Are you serving him out of a sense of duty or delight? Heads bowed, eyes are closed, and let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, in my simple way, I have endeavored to impart what you have put on my spirit this morning. Now I ask you to do what only you can do and allow the Holy Spirit to cause the message to speak to hearts. Lord, if we have been serving you like Leo sitting at the table saying, would you please stop that? Have mercy on the error of our way. If we have been serving you just out of a sense of duty, forgive us. Forgive us. We are doing what we are doing with the wrong motive. But Lord, I pray that you will allow us to be just so overwhelmingly delighted in you that we serve you with gladness and serve you with joy. Speak to each heart in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. I realized that I've been serving for the wrong reasons. Yes, 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 yes. Pastor Gary, I realize maybe I haven't been serving for the wrong reason, but I needed to hear this word because I need to be mindful of the fact that if I'm not careful, my delight can become just duty. Yes, yes, yes. All over the building, please stand to your feet. Father, thank you that the spoken word has touched hearts this morning. I pray right now, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will just bring an absolute revival of joy in the hearts of your believers. I pray right now, Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you will cause us to become so delighted in you that our delight in you will be visible upon our countenance. It'll be heard in the words that we speak and the life that we live, in the way that we live, the places that we go and the things that we do will testify that our delight is in you. Bless every hand that's been lifted here today in the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead and say amen.